Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
It was a wonderful fox.
Yeah.
It was.
I agree. Best fox video on the internet.
Today.
Least.
Yeah. I mean, not ever.
Yeah. That's a big part of
it. I like
feed.
The ones that the fucking foxes like dive into the snow and they like go like head first. It's fucking cool.
I like that song. What does the fox say?
Ah.
No, I'm just kidding. You're a white nationalist.
You've got an issue. Okay, good. Well, I've got an issue with the Who Goes There podcast, episode 406. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
This is Reed.
What up, everybody? How's it going?
Pretty good.
Sorry, I need one of these. I didn't want to spook you. I just got a little tickle in my throat. I don't think I took a COVID test. I think I'm good. It's good. I might have some other life-threatening disease, but not COVID.
Not COVID. It might be something else.
I didn't want to bust this shit where we fucking delay a week, you know. So I just I made all necessary precautions.
He just wants to pre-jack it a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, anywho, how you doing, guys?
Pretty cool. I went to Disneyland. Took my lady out to Disneyland for our anniversary.
I had no fucking clue you went to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Did you put on stories or stuff?
Courtney did.
Okay.
We're very low PDA and all that.
That's a good song. The Apple Bottom Jeans song. That's a dope ass song.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know what I walked into with that comment.
But, I mean, I don't even.
We went to she's a huge Disney fan. Like, she's got books. Like, she could, like, tell you the engineers that worked on a fucking ride. That's how knowledgeable she is of it. She loves that place. And that's her happy thing. So I just took her there because, you know, I'm fucking broke and couldn't afford it on whatever last occasion was. I just took her like downtown.
Yeah. Dude, it's only like $3,000.
It's only $250 per fucking day. Like, right? why can't you just go all the time?
Exactly. So we went on a low capacity days, what they call it, where it's the cheaper tickets on a weekday. But low capacity actually means more people because it's cheaper. So the fucking, it was the exact opposite where it's actually more people there, longer lines. But, and we were hoping it would be rainy because the weather in San Diego, but it fucking happened to be Santa Ana fucking weather out of nowhere.
Warm and beautiful.
Yeah. So, but we had a great time. And honestly, just the highlight of the whole thing is still the Galaxy's Edge, the Star Wars shit.
Fucking say that, man.
Did you go last time?
You're mad about this.
You went to Disneyland last 5 years. Yeah,
they did a great job with the Star Wars thing.
It's a $1 billion.
Fuck the Star Wars thing. No, yeah. I have mixed feelings, man. I'm so hurt.
You're like,
so
you don't want to support it, but you're like, damn, this is.
They did a great job. The Imagineers.
Yeah.
And it's immersive. Can't hold a candle to fucking Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
And that's still my favorite, though.
Like, and Brody was right. Everybody wants Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
It's
and so
my
do
favorite.
I.
Well, good. I always go there. That's the second stop we made. But
did you go on the Winnie the Pooh ride?
It was like a 30-minute wait, and I was like, "That's too long for
you
a
know
little
why?
Dark ride." But yeah,
it's a fucking dope.
It
dark
is dope.
Ride. Oh, you've been on it?
No, I have before. Yeah.
Oh, because it's fucking trippy.
It's like top four for me. Like,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Okay, so you already knew. You're like the only other person I've talked to that already knew about the dopeness of that fucking with the pink elephants on parade and all that.
It's
good
fucking
stuff.
Trip, dude. And, yeah. And if you like that, they have a new ride. Well, their two newest rides is one Star Wars Rise of Resistance and one is like Mickey Mouse's Runaway, whatever bullshit.
Rise of the what?
Rise of the.
Just they need to stop. Get some help. Like,
the new shit is like the dark rides. And for those who don't know, dark rides is like when you're just on the little buggy on a track, like the small ass, like Mr. Toad or Winnie the Pooh and shit. Now the new thing is technology is like that shit, but on steroids. And you're riding like a giant Roomba. Like, it's trackless. Everything is like these giant like carts. That's with no dope. Tracks. And Rise of Resistance and their new Mickey Mouse ride, which is actually, I like it just as much. And fucking, it's really impressive with the art direction and everything. The fucking, the Mickey Mouse ride, you're like the whole like line queue. is you're in a movie theater, and it's like the El Capitan Theater, and fucking you're looking at all this memorabilia of Mickey Mouse, and like you break the fourth wall and go through a movie theater screen.
Oh, I've seen that thing, and it's like, how the fuck does this work, dude?
Yeah, it was crazy. I really like the technology behind it all, and the Rise of Resistance, cool, because like they mask some of the line waiting as part of like the experience where you're like getting interrogated, and then the actors are like New Order people shit. And
Red doesn't like it.
Yeah.
New Order, dude?
New
Order. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude.
I don't even know. Yeah,
okay, wait. What else? Did you go on Big Thunder? Mountain Railroad.
We didn't go on Big Thunder, but
we
managed to get a Matterhorn when it managed to be below 2 hour wait. And I love Matterhorn. Oh, I'm like,
dope.
I forgot how much, like, how intense it is of a ride with the fucking Sasquatch, because they improved the animatronics and actually moves
it
around.
It is kind
of
fucked up, right?
Yeah, and it's I didn't remember until I went on it again that it's like a single rider thing where it's like you're on a bobsled. Like, the whole theme
toboggan?
Of it. Yeah. Like,
is that how you say it?
Probably toboggan. Nice. Okay. Yeah. Okay, wow.
I like a lot of rides. It's fun having a girlfriend who's so knowledgeable. She's kind of like a tour guide and, like, tells you all the cool, interesting shit.
We actually have a former Patreon but current listener who was a chef, was at California Adventure, but I think he's now in Disneyland proper, who actually got us into Disneyland a handful of years ago.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, he was also very like, yeah, and you want to do this, and like, make sure you go, you're here at like 3 o'clock.
Exactly.
That's dope. And I'm like, you want to get us in that restaurant or what, dude?
And you said chef, like, dude, that's, I spent like $150 on just food all day. Like, that's just, it's fucking crazy. It's a carnival food, you know, on steroids. And
yeah.
Did you get the turkey leg, dude?
I didn't get a turkey leg.
Did you get the birria tacos, dude?
I got a thing called a Ronto wrap in the Star Wars land, and that was fucking delicious. I had a garlic.
That's Kathleen Kennedy's fucking snack.
No, I didn't fuck with the blue milk, though. I've had that before, and it tastes like shampoo. That shit's gross. But yeah, a lot of fun stuff.
Did you guys,
from the last Jedi,
did you guys get the passes to let you come back, or you're just
one day thing? We took a hotel. It was like a mile walk, which was pretty convenient. It was pretty close by. Yeah. But, you know, us not being the most physically active people, our legs were like blown out after like 20,000 steps and just limping back to the hotel afterward. But
did you take edibles before or after?
Well, they have drug dogs everywhere now, like,
that's
like in the
fucked.
Entrance. So I was,
that's
like,
fucking stupid.
Yeah, we were excited about it. And then
I'm sober, and that's fucking stupid.
Yeah, so we were excited about doing that aspect. We brought a bunch, and we're like, fuck, we're gonna leave it in the car. We didn't want to. I mean, like, what am I gonna do? Take it at 8 a.m? You know?
They're
what
all
I mean?
Like, here, get drunk instead.
Yeah.
Nothing ever happens.
Walk
with
over
drunk
to
people.
Fucking walk over to California Adventure, get fucked up, and then come back.
Yeah, what do they think? Yeah. People are on meth at Disneyland? That's not what they want to do on meth.
It's funny you mentioned that. The last time I went to Disneyland as an adult, pre-kids, I went with a bunch of rave kids that,
hell motherfucking yeah,
went at the time was like really popular, like raving and whatnot. We went on Raver Day for Disneyland,
candy flipping,
and it was fucking nuts, dude. Like, the I didn't partake because I'm a fucking square,
but you partaked in the vibe.
I did, dude. And I got a nickname from a chick that day, and
you helped their trip because you were just like a solid dude, like, there with them on their trip.
I was the trip captain.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
You were like a guide, like, you rooted them to regular 3D density, dude.
I met the fucking, who's the drummer? The guy who invented the trash can thing.
I was going to say
Fripp, but that's not right.
Not Robert Fripp.
Not Robert Fripp.
He probably would not even like the trash can.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, anywho. Yeah, met him. It was fun. Tom Float, that's it.
Mm. That motherfucker floats.
Yeah.
When he plays, he floats, dude. He really does. He's so smooth.
I don't know. He might be dead now, though.
He's probably, maybe. He's a kickback dude.
Yeah.
That guy smoked a lot of fucking weed. Has his own stick from Vic Firth. No one gives a fuck about any of this.
Yeah. Anywho.
Yeah, no edibles, unfortunately, but we had a great time.
Except
and
all the food you ate.
A lot of food. Yeah. Sadly, Haunted Mansion was closed down. A couple rides were closed down for under construction and shit, but
that's kind of cool, though, because then it means you have to prioritize something else.
Something else. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know, do you have a favorite ride besides Mr. Toes? You like some?
Oh yeah, of course, dude. I love Space Mountain.
Space Mountain.
I mean, it's like
we waited two
obvious.
And a half.
Well, yeah, it's Disneyland. Of course, it's obvious.
We waited
right?
2.5 hours for it. Unfortunately, it was a. It said 45-minute wait, so we waited, and we were at the very front, and then it broke down, and it's one of those like, do you leave or do you stay?
You stay.
And you just stay. And it was like, dude, it just kept going and going, and then it was 2.5 hours later. We went on. It's like whatever. But.
Well, the thing I love about Space Mountain is because it's so. So like open-ended to imagination wise,
you like the non-IP.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. It's non-IP and it's very still, there's no other roller coaster like it. Like yeah. The indoor, it's dark, the fucking star thing. And if you squint your eyes still, like your imagination can still, like if you want to get into the space with it as a kid. And also the thing it does when the lights slow down, that shit gets me every time.
And it's always, you feel like you're going to get your head chopped off, too. Like, that's
fuck
the...
yeah.
Yeah, you see, like, the small silhouettes of the construction. Yeah.
And you feel the wind, even though it's dark. Like, all that shit's cool. And like you said, the non-IP thing, it's like, is this Alien? Or is this Star Wars? Or is this Star Trek? Or is this some other dope-ass space situation?
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
I think as far as, like, non-rides, I'm pretty sure the Tiki Room is my favorite, like, thing.
Yeah.
I love that motherfucker.
That thing is fucking great.
I like chill shit like that, or like if I want to like rest my feet, just fucking go on Pirates. It's usually like a shorter wait, and you just get like 10 minutes of just chilling in a fucking boat, you know?
And you're actually on a ride. You're like, yeah. Oh,
Pirates is fucking great. Like, Pirates, I have to say, dude, like, and this is, for me, it's apart from the whole juggernaut film franchise, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, you walk in there, it has that smell. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing on earth smells actually, like the ride.
Courtney has an oil diffuser, and she has the Pirates.
Shut the fuck up.
She has a lot of scent. Yeah, the Pirates.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah, ocean smell.
Yeah, it's when it gets to that part
of
the ride.
It's just bleach and sweat.
Yeah, there's two things with that ride where it just outclasses any other theme park thing. Yeah. Like, when you see how big this fucking ride is when you start going down hills underground into water. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you come to this clearing area where it has, like, a castle and cannons.
Like, fucking dope. It's a slow ramp up. Yeah.
That shit is fucking dope.
It is cool. They actually recently, for like 10 years, they had a lot of movie tie-in bullshit, a lot of CGI projections. They actually removed it recently and added more animatronics and made it more kind of old school. And, you know, yeah, I like all that stuff. It's fun. There's a dope, actually, Disney Plus documentary series we watched like every episode.
About the Imagineering and stuff?
Yeah, the Behind the Ride. And it tells you the history of every ride there.
Yeah, it's the Indiana Jones ride, you know, again, like, things get fucking oversaturated, but I still love fucking Indiana Jones, the original trilogy, and I love that ride.
Mm-hmm.
The ride's fucking, that's an amazing fucking ride.
Yeah.
And I think I did see the behind the scenes on that one. That's just it's a gargantuan fucking undertaking.
Whoa.
Sorry.
You really.
I was one of my top rides though that I sadly did not get a chance. I don't know why it was like over a fucking hour wait, but Roger Rabbit is definitely.
I've never been on that fucking
ride. That's
a
good ride.
Yeah, it is always popular. It's always popping, but it is a dope little. And I love dark rides. I love the simple. Yeah.
It's been popular since the 90s, and I've never been on it because I'm like, that's a fucking mistake because I would probably love that ride.
Yeah. If you like Mr. Toes, you love it. But that's me. If you want to get into movies, I just saw two real quick. Finally saw Poor Things. Catching up on the Oscar type, you know, big hype award season movies.
And please tell me how it's better than everything except Oppenheimer. Go ahead.
It's that's about right.
Not what? Really?
No, it really is. I loved it. What, Courtney.
Huh? What? It's fucking good.
Dude. Courtney loved it. It's her new obsession. She is like, that might be one of my all-time favorite movies. Whether it's the message, the thematic shit, but just being...
The art direction?
The art direction. She's never... I mean, I have to show her some more Terry Gilliam shit.
Terry Gilliam, absolutely.
You know, so she can enjoy more shit like that. I got to expose her more to that. But like, it really is like you are transported to a world. Like I was almost too distracted by the art direction and production design. Like, I'd be a fucking crime that it doesn't win any of those type of awards for, you know, set direction and set design and costume design, because it's fucking phenomenal. And that's just that stuff. The actual movie itself is fucking crazy. Like, seeing Mark Ruffalo in a role that's not him being like a grounded, realistic character.
He's hilarious in
that
movie.
I'm trying to think back. I don't think he's...
You poured yourself!
Yeah, you fucking cunty cunt.
It's the worst thing you can do!
I'll fucking throw you overboard. Yeah. It's fantastic. I think he even said in interviews, like, this is the most, like, uncomfortable he's been in a role, and he really wanted to go all out. He wanted to stop being Mark Ruffalo and... In all of his movies, he wanted to do something really different.
Oh, he wanted to act.
Yeah. I love that actor, but like, it's true. Like, all of his movies seem a little grounded.
No, I love that actor too, but he does have that. He has similar mannerisms in most of his movies, which is fine. But I think, he's saying like, I want to branch out and do shit where I don't feel like myself.
I don't want to just be Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
Yeah. And man, that's like the most sex I've seen in a movie. Like a mainstream movie ever, I think. Like, and that mainstream.
You know what? Film. It's up there. Yeah. Full frontal stuff, sex. Yeah.
Yeah. It was
not since the 90s have we seen and this. And it's not
like
sex.
And it doesn't feel like all well, you know what I mean. The tone is like it's not a judgmental tone about it. It's not like a super erotic even a lot of the sex scenes. It's like matter of fact.
It's matter of fact. It's very empowering for women and that's why Courtney was so drawn to it. She just fell in love with it and that world is insane. Like, I actually I collect a lot of I have a little small library of art books, concept art books. Like, that's a movie like I want to own the little coffee table art book for. It's fucking crazy good.
Me too. And there's like a lot of each character has their kind of own philosophy and outlook on the world, which she can kind of annex to hers or see how, and then eventually she winds up in the last act of the movie in a place where you're with really dangerous people now.
Yeah.
Like, really they do things, they rely on force and violence, and that's it.
Yeah, when without and spoiling status. It, with Christopher Abbott's character.
Yeah, which is fucking cool. He was in there.
That whole last, 20, 25 minutes was, it took a dark turn for sure. And I love Christopher Abbott, too. I actually just got a Sanctuary. I want to check that out.
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took a dark turn, and it ends up like, it ends up in this really triumphant place, because she is like, it's like Barbie on fucking acid. Like it's like she's like...
She's having fun the whole movie a little bit, and then you're like, all right, we got to get a little serious about like the themes of the film.
Yeah, and if she wins Best Actress, because she's already won for La La Land, like I that was an amazing fucking performance.
Yeah.
And I got to say, like, she's doing The Curse... with fucking Safdie.
Yeah, she's down, Fielder. Dude. She's really fucking down.
She's down. She is fucking down.
Yeah, I like it.
She's fucking absurd, dude. Yeah. Like, she's like, fuck it. I want to, like, do the wildest shit.
Yeah, ever since Birdman, it's just fucking... Yeah. She launched.
Funny to think that she came from fucking...
Superbad,
yeah, dude. It's like... It's
who would have known?
She's, like, determined to make white bitches cool again. You know what I mean?
Yes, actually, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you'll no longer be able to say, oh, white bitch!
Oh, white bitch! Yeah, I love the movie, too.
Yeah, and the other film, I only saw one other movie, and you could segue into your stuff. I saw Godzilla Minus One Minus Color, the black and white
plus
edit.
Plus Morbius,
minus Godzilla. Plus Color. No.
That's great.
That's
such a good fucking meme, it's man. Great. God damn.
That, wow, Minus Color. It is like the definitive way to watch that movie. You know, yeah, you'll lose Godzilla's blue breath, but besides that, it's like, dude, the doom and gloom of the whole thing, like, the whole weather is just interpreted completely differently. It feels really oppressive.
It's just all death.
Yeah, it's very oppressive in style. Like, there's little hope. So when the film has the swing towards, the hopefulness in some parts of the story, it's way more effective.
Mm. Yeah. It's all still dirge.
I agree for the most part. I loved seeing it. Minus Color. But and even the beginning, I read online, some people were concerned about the front end because it was dark. That was fucking dope that it was dark and black and white.
It actually worked. That was my biggest concern was the opening, yeah.
Yeah, but then like all the contrast and during the day, most of the movies shot during the day, so it works fucking great anyway. And all of the graininess. Mm-hmm. The only thing for me is the big epic sequences on the ocean. Not the one in the middle with the boat. That was fine. But towards the end.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of CGI water. And seeing that in black and white
that felt kind of like I thought that
there's a lot of moving parts and
yeah, like those scenes.
I can see that being like it takes you out of it a bit,
a little bit, yeah. Just in those scenes, not I, enough. Yeah. But I
thought of that, way. But I wasn't sure if that's because I've seen the movie already. Like I don't know if like I wish I could have gone in like as a first time watch in black and white and see if how effective it was.
When I think. It's one of those things that's so like detailed. I think if he had shot, had planned on shooting it exclusively only black and white, I think those scenes would have been constructed differently.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because those are scenes that were constructed for color and mm-hmm. for blue water.
Yeah.
And not.
Yeah, you're not going to, the CGI guy's not going to fucking spend.
Yeah, you're not going to go fucking crazy with the water in black and white like that the same way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You'd almost have to reshoot it with actual ocean.
Yeah, like you'd have to do be a better filmmaker like Christopher Nolan.
Psych!
I'm just kidding. The movie's great.
You mean Zack Snyder?
Zack Snyder is definitely unique.
Unique is a word, yes.
Yes. He's a very unique individual.
He a real one.
Yeah.
But I recommend it. Godzilla, well, by the time this comes out, obviously, but today was the last day that Godzilla's out in North American theaters, so.
Maybe it'll get a little, maybe it'll get one more little bump.
Maybe. Yeah, I hope so.
It's made enough money to, necessitate it.
Yeah. And it's marching into streaming and fucking with all this word of mouth, and many people will see it who have not.
Many people are saying this.
Many people are saying what we're saying right now about many people. Do you
think Trump watched Godzilla?
Nope. He doesn't want to read.
What movie do you think he saw?
You're right. What do you think he did?
And I don't think he's as stupid. I think he's a monster, but he just doesn't want to read.
Yeah.
Why would he if he doesn't have to?
What do you think the last movie he watched and it had to have been fucking what's the
Sound of Freedom?
Sound of Freedom. Yeah, it had to have been that, dude.
I don't think he fucking watched that. Oppenheimer.
Oh wow.
No, I think the last movie he watched was Avatar, The Way of Water.
He probably loved it too.
Incredible. Incredible. What they can do, Which I agree.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, it made a lot of money. It costs a lot of money. And he likes that.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's blue people. He's probably super in.
So Trump's right. So what you're saying is Trump knows cinema.
Mm-hmm. he's a cinephile.
I don't. That would be. I am really curious. Like, what's his favorite movies? Trump's favorite movies. That's a good Google. And like, Obama comes out every year with his list of his favorite films.
Yeah.
And his favorite songs. And
it's interesting. Yeah.
Surprise, surprise. He's got pretty good taste. Yeah. Until he produces this fucking. What the fuck was that called?
Leave
the World Behind.
Yeah, it's weird. He produced it.
Okay, anyway.
What y'all watching, hoes? What you watching?
He already said what he was
watching. I know, but you. I want to say that. I didn't get to say it. You're gonna... I mean, look. we've been watching... Ronnie and I have been watching this show that has 70 fucking seasons and like 20 episodes of fucking a season. We're watching this show called Superstore. And it's dumb as fuck. It is unequivocally dumb. But
I'm so lost. I've never.
Are you okay?
No, I'm not okay. I'm in a bit of a down.
You went for right the now. One with the most seasons.
Yeah, like, and I was like, this we're gonna fucking rough our way through this thing. It's basically a bunch of people that work in like a Walmart type store. It's dumb, but it's like 20 minutes in and out per episode.
Is it reality or is it like a sitcom?
Dude,
or?
It's a sitcom. Okay. It's bad. I can't really.
It's on Hulu. It's got a 7.9.
I can't really excuse it. It's not particularly good. It's not particularly funny, but it's like consistent.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, all right, I'll finish this.
Yeah.
Eight fucking seasons later.
So it's like Scrubs in a Walmart.
Yeah, kinda.
That's my worst nightmare. like people are like, whoa, I like Scrubs. Like, okay. That's it.
But anywho, in preparation for what we're talking about tonight, I went through the Matrix rewatch.
What?
Hey, so yeah, I have notes about that, yeah.
So I ended up going.
There's three movies back to back in that conversation. Matrix, Dark City, and Existence.
So I went Matrix, Reloaded.
Oh, you did that.
Yeah, so I went Matrix, Reloaded.
That hurts.
Revolutions, and then I watched the Animatrix.
Okay. Oh, you didn't watch Resurrections?
Thank God.
Oh, no, I did. Oh, that's right. There is a fourth, huh?
Like, I gotta go back.
I skipped it.
Jorge.
I skipped it. But anywho, I didn't realize, and we'll kind of get more into it. I didn't realize how close Existence and the first Matrix were in terms of release date.
Yeah, until a month.
I looked it up.
A month apart.
And so this is going to be really interesting to talk about when we get to Existence. But
yeah.
Completely different approaches about similar ideas.
And man, that first Matrix movie is fucking unbelievable, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree, man. There's only two scenes. There's more than two, but there's like two where they're kind of cheesy to me with Tank and the.
Oh, that's real grade A American blood.
That kind of shit. Yes, yeah, there's that one. There's a couple scenes like that, but that's because I've seen it so many times. I put it under a microscope and have to get to like three lines of dialogue that are,
or like the dinner scene with fucking Cypher. That shit's a little bit like
the steak. Well, that shit is like
you're telling me what the steak should taste like, and it's like, okay, we get it from the fucking. The Toastios conversation.
Yeah, you're treating us pretty stupid right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
it's
a fantastic movie.
Absolutely.
And then the next two is like, holy, what the fuck happened here? We got the blonde twins and the
fucking, with fucking dreadlocks.
The dreadlocks and what's her name?
The Merovingian.
Yeah.
And the fucking and then the architect. Ergo this. Ergo. And I'm like watching that. It was fucked up because like it's the worst advertisement for philosophy because it's pumping you like full of philosophy in that movie. And it's mentioning the eternal recurrence from Nietzsche. It's like this has already happened six times exactly the same way. And it's like, dude, you're making this lame. You're making one of the dopest ideas ever conceived fucking lame right now.
Yeah.
I can't.
That's why Tarantino said the first Matrix movie is like one of the greatest movies of all time. But the only reason why it doesn't make any of his top movie lists is because of the existence of all its sequels.
Yeah. It's attached to these other things. Dude, I mean, it's fucked. And it's a great example, I think, of they weren't intending to make a trilogy. What happened is they weren't intending to make a trilogy. And when it made so much money and it was so successful and the studio said, we want more... They fucking stretched. They said, fine, we'll do it. And it's like, you're taking something that was not meant to be a franchise and stretching it to a franchise.
Well, that's one of those things you think about. Like, so the Wachowskis were, you know, they come out of this movie, this fucking singularity of a film.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the studio's like, here is $200 million. Like, figure it out. I mean, what? Like, where do you go?
Right. Like, well, they went to all their ideas and obsessions, which they fucking, they both clearly love this because then they ended up telling the same story in different ways over and over again.
Yeah,
in Cloud Atlas and in fucking Jupiter Ascending. Like, what do I mean? I mean, there's like a lot of parallels with the fucking hero's journey thing, and then peeling back the layers of reality, and then like things are this way, but they're actually this way, and there's a hidden world.
But joke's on you, it's actually the first way.
And it's a metaphor for how things actually are, and because they're fucking deep into this stuff, and they keep trying to like do it over and over again with fucking $200 million budgets, and it's wild.
Well, they're making movies like people make comic books, right? So you can retcon a whole, a whole idea and a whole fucking narrative in a comic book and nobody's going to blink an eye.
Yeah.
But when you do that with a film franchise that people have a lot of love for, and all of a sudden it's these really weird sequences where they're in a mech suit and they're fighting sentinels and it's there's these ham-fisted love scenes and there's
the
like
slow motion sex scene.
There's like
scene
a with sex the... scene in the middle of a rave and it's like I don't like any of this shit, man. And we got fucking Michael from Lost in this shit and I'm like waiting for him to go Walt and I can't handle it, dude.
Yeah.
It's wild.
When I did the re- Go ahead.
I was going to say, what did you think of Animatrix?
Animatrix is amazing.
Animatrix is dope. So good.
Front to back. It's incredible. Like, yeah. I think my favorite one, only because it feels like the most otherworldly, is the, I forget what it's called, but it's the one with the little kids in that like building that sort of gives them like superpowers.
Okay.
That one's my favorite. Second is the runner one. I think that runner, the runner one where the guy's like juiced up.
Yeah.
That one is amazing.
I think it's the Aeon Flux animator guy. Yeah.
Yep. That one's dope. Yep. But yeah, that was it. That took me about like, 12 hours to get through all that shit.
So Sophia and I, hi Sophia, did the rewatch of the Matrix stuff on the run up to Resurrections.
Same here.
Which was fucking awful. But dude, when I tried to watch Revolutions, I couldn't get past 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like rough. I refuse, dude.
I think I didn't even finish it. Yeah.
It's fucking boring. It's so bad. Like I know there are worse movies, but it's really sad because it's the Matrix and it's like, dude, I don't even care how this ends.
Yeah.
Like, don't, but then do you Resurrections is something else, dude. It's like, it's already forgotten. Like, you even forgot that it happened. But like, when we talk about legacy sequels, like, dude, it's gotta be among the worst. Like, it has to be. And that's fucking crazy to be saying.
Holy shit, that was 2021. Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm gonna have to rewatch that now. I have to.
Dude, I
watched like 20 minutes of it again. Yeah. Just to, and then I'm like, oh, I already forgot.
Oh, fucking dude.
So many people were in this movie.
Speaking of shit ass fucking movies, so you mentioned who was coming into our house the other day with that hat on.
That hat was scary. It was an American flag in black and white. He said hi, had a beard, was a little overweight like myself, but a little more. He's just not as tall.
So I'm not going to mention.
I'm not really tall, but he was shorter than
me. I'm not going to mention his name or, what he was doing here.
I understand. You got to protect his identity.
Yeah, I got to protect.
He was there at the fucking, the insurrection.
The January 6th. Yeah. But he comes in and he goes, hey, what's that painting in your living room about? And I'm like, hey, it's about, the Dark Tower, Stephen King series. He goes, hey, I just watched a movie a couple weeks ago. Does it have anything to do with that movie? And I'm like, oh, no.
Get him out, man.
I go, oh, no, here we go. I'm like, what movie talking about? He goes, yeah. It's got the guy, black guy from I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. He's like, black guy from
why is it gotta be black?
From what's that movie with the big monsters on like Pacific Rim? He goes, yeah. I go, Idris Elba? He's like, yeah. It's, you're not talking about the Dark Tower movie, are you? He goes, yeah. I really like that movie. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
He saw your picture and he figures if he tells you he really liked the movie, you guys will be blood brothers.
Exactly, that was my whole. Yep. That's what it was. Yeah,
that's fucked up, Jorge.
Yeah, dude, and I felt so bad, and I was like, yeah, I go, we don't really talk about that movie in this household.
Damn. He's like, oh, you didn't like it? And it's like, no, I've read the books. I've grown up with it a long time, so I had different expectations.
Yeah, I, 30 years of history with this series, and ruined by one single movie. But that's whatever, dude. You can like it if
that's,
you want.
That's what you, the layman, think Dark Tower is.
Yeah, yeah. I was upset.
God damn,
I was upset.
Who is he?
I'm not gonna say.
The fuck?
Yeah.
You guys doing some stuff?
No.
A little bit of like cuck action?
No.
You open yourself up to, I'm sorry. No, but
yeah.
He's not going to say, okay, fuck it. Yeah. Fuck it. That's mysterious.
It is mysterious.
I like it. I can let it go. Well, Night Country episode 3. Woo. Woo! I'll wait for you guys, but nope, not a fan.
I gotta wait till it's all out. I can't be on.
It's like one of those, I don't want to support it, but I have to have my informed opinion of the whole thing,
Of course.
I fucking love, even though many fans hated 2 and 3, I loved it all, and I gotta give it a shot, but it's not encouraging when you see Nick Pizzolatto, who wrote seasons 1 through 3, just blatantly fucking on social media, like, yeah, it's fucking stupid.
He's right.
Yeah.
And who cares if I agree with him? Because who am I? He's Nick. Like you said, he's the series creator.
Yeah. This is his baby. And it's funny, like, when you see social media, people are being nice and, like, they don't, like, just, like, quote-unquote normies. They're like, oh, I love season 4, by the way. I follow him on Instagram, and it's funny seeing these people being nice to him. By the way, great job on season 4. And he was like, well, I'm glad. I think the creators of that show might like it, but, you know, I had nothing to do with it.
Well, look.
Like, he is distancing himself so far
just
from season 4.
Yeah, they're to dispel a couple, like, misperceptions, because Issa tried to, like, say that there was review bombers, or what are they called? I'm sorry.
Yeah, review bombing.
Okay, yeah. And then it was bros and blah, 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 which, like, yes, I have a cock, but no, I'm not, like, the person, I'm not review bombing on Captain Marvel, which was a so-so movie.
Yeah.
It was not very good, but it wasn't because of the reasons you said. Same thing here. Like, dude, this is, like, people, you said you like season 2 and 3. Plenty of people complained about season 2 and 3.
Exactly, yeah.
And so what? Why is it it's suddenly not okay to say you don't like season 4? Like, dude, it's just, it's not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're talking about bad acting, stupid writing decisions, like really forced tone, like all this kind of stuff. And then people are like, oh, well, the whole thing's not done yet. When they say that in the first episode, it's like, I understand it's not done yet, but I'm talking about this episode.
Yeah.
Bad acting in this episode is this episode.
And the whole thing isn't out yet should be from a tonal aspect.
Exactly.
Not from, like, it's
dialogue.
It is like the nuts and bolts are wrong.
Exactly right. Exactly. And also, by the way, we're on episode 3 now. That's halfway through. There's only 6 episodes. Yeah. So this is the halfway point. And if you were watching this, you'd be like, this is the halfway point of this fucking season. We're in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, fucking, wow.
It's crazy. Because, you know, season 1, there's a whole conspiracy about the Tuttle family and the corruption and the church. And they had a construction company and they doing all these renovations. And that's how they find the victims. And
now suddenly they have an entire research facility.
Science research facility in Alaska.
And he said straight up, yeah, that's so stupid.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it was like, so stupid. Like, a fucking random person on Instagram said that. And he's like, yeah, that's so stupid. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
So
It's crazy, man. And
the difference, I think, when people are talking about, like, you know, give it a chance politics for it to stuff. Give it a chance for it to, like, breathe, right?
Yeah.
The difference is that with season 1, I think it wasn't so much like you weren't wondering, like, is this going to get better? It was more of like, I don't know what this is doing.
Exactly.
When you're talking about the problems that, at least from what I can tell, it's straight up, like, bad acting, bad pacing, bad CGI even.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
There's a lot of CGI. Yeah, there's CGI. And the other, like, when you talk about season 1 real quick, the first episode, like you said, you don't know where it's going to go.
Right.
But you see the production design, you see the skill with which it's executed, and immediately, it comes down to the writing. Immediately, when you get Woody Harrelson's character, And you get McConaughey in the car, the fucking screen gets set on fire. Like, these characters, besides the actors doing a good job and it being well fucking lensed and everything, the writing is fucking amazing. The interactions between these characters and the chemistry they have is absolutely amazing. Nothing like that whatsoever. I have not had anything close to that in these 3 episodes.
Just wait, dude, for episode 6, man. It's going to wrap up.
It's going to be great at the end.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Matthew McConaughey just shows up?
I wouldn't be surprised at this point.
They think, like, this is probably, like, one of the worst cases of fan service.
Well, they're, like, doing, like, heard. The connected universe thing. Yeah. And it's like, no one. It's like, it's gone. It goes with the legacy sequel thing. It goes with, like, the fucking, the Kathleen Kennedy thing. Like, it's gone too far. Well,
yeah, I mean,
let things be self-contained.
The failings of seasons 2 and 3 have nothing to do with the fact that it's not connected to season 1.
Exactly.
Right? That's so, why I'm a total apologist for 2 and 3.
It's making it worse that they're trying to connect.
So it's not like the one thing that we were pining for was a connection back to Rust. It's like, I'm like, dude, let it die.
Yeah.
Right? You've got all of this room to create your own universe. Well, and we know this director is capable of doing that.
Yeah.
Although at a smaller scale. I mean, when you've got...
She's got a big shoes to fill here.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. That's a daunting thing, you know? And when you say Let It Die, because if it's not good, besides that it's not good, you're tainting season one. Because now this thing's connected. It's like the Matrix thing. Like, you're tainting the first Matrix now.
It's Killers of the Flower Moon
now. You're fucking with me now.
Yeah.
Like, now I'm coming for you. What? No, it's like Star Wars. Like, stop it. Don't touch it. Leave it. Stop it. Stop it. Put it down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Make something else.
Yeah.
But,
agreed.
Anyway, that went way longer and you guys haven't even watched it. No, the only other thing we're watching, we're having this fun thing. Sophia loves the X-Files. She loves X-Files. And I'm beginning to understand she loves David Duchovny, which is not uncommon.
Yeah.
She really loves him. And because she's like, quiet, I'm watching. I'm like, you're not. You're watching David Duchovny. And that's okay. But I've seen a lot of X-Files episodes, but we're going episode by episode.
Fuck yeah.
All of them.
That's what I want to do with Courtney,
And we're going back and forth between that and Star Trek The Next Generation.
Woo!
So we watch one of each. The thing is, though, there's 25 episodes in season one of Star Trek Next Generation. So I'm using a list. I'm using IMDb to see the best ones because not even me. Like, we can come back to them later once she's more hooked on the characters. And she's really she loves it now.
Make sure you get to
the episode. Because you have to get to know these characters.
Where Picard absolutely fucking obliterates a dude with his phaser. Remember that episode?
Yeah, conspiracy.
Yeah.
Dude, we watched it two nights ago. That's season one. Episode 20. Dude, it's fucking dope.
He fucking goes...
And his head explodes. It's like a Cronenberg fucking neck. His chest opens up and a monster comes out.
It's
like,
fucking crazy.
Dude, this show has some spooky ideas too. Not just like body horror stuff, obviously. Not too often. But that's like a rare like body horror Star Trek Next Generation
moment. This little worm that comes out of this dude's chest. It's crazy.
Yeah, because there's parasites. Anyway, it's just great stuff. And the ideas of fucking Next Generation, like, so fucking far ahead of stuff. And the holodeck.
Yep.
And then, like, we watched the one where, last night we watched the one where Data is Sherlock Holmes. And they initially go in there, he goes in there with Geordi, and Geordi's fucking Watson. And the thing is, Data's memorized all the books, and Geordi's pissed. He's like, you already know all the stuff, so you're not solving anything. So then they tell the computer to make something that's in the spirit of Sherlock Holmes, but not based upon any material. And I'm like, this is ChatGPT. Like, he's fucking... It's all of that stuff.
Yeah, these fucking writers of this show are fucking crazy.
It's in the early 90s, dude.
Yeah.
And it's just like, wait, what am I saying? This is 89.
And it's more like
Season 2 is 1989.
ChatGPT is talking to ChatGPT.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's fucking Data.
Mm-hmm.
That's dope.
Damn.
Just a great fucking show.
Yeah. It's a fantastic fucking show. I mean, I remember coming home as a kid and you would basically have like, it would be reruns of TNG all the way up to like 6 o'clock.
Yeah,
it's what I would watch when I came home from school. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's a really, you know, the whole the soundscape of the ship moving and like the noises. They have that on YouTube now.
You can put like 4 hours. I do that for work. I need some sort of sound, but music sometimes too distract. I do soundscapes and I do a lot of sci-fi soundscapes
and the little wee wee wee.
Yeah,
wee wee.
Yeah. Dude, it's great. So I'm really, every day, like, I'm excited to go home and watch X-Files and Next Generation right now. And we got, like, fucking 11 seasons or something of X-Files.
That's fun.
Dude, and then Next Generation is fucking an absurd amount of fucking episodes.
Yeah. It's cozy. I'm super excited for, because I tried to show her the Borg one. Like, the first one I tried to show her a few years ago was the Locutus one. And it's like, she doesn't know who these people are.
Yeah, she doesn't give a fuck about anybody.
She remembered liking Data as a kid, but now she's like, you know, now it makes...
Now she's an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and yeah, she can understand who the fuck is who now. Anyway.
All right. Well, we're going to be right back. And we'll talk about a movie.
What?
I do. I listen to it in bed, and Sophia, like, I lose it. Like, I fucking laugh so hard, I start coughing, it's hard to breathe. Because he goes, there's silence, it's like, quack, lily, quack!
Well, with that,
yep.
Guess what?
We're back!
We're fucking back! Quack, out. Lily, quack! Jesus Christ.
Man.
Well, we forgot to do this last time, but what the fuck? But Jacob, can you tell these fine folks about Patreon, please?
That's
true, man.
Well,
can you do that?
I first of all, like, for literally a fucking dollar a month, literally, you can just join our Discord and be a fool with all of us and just talk about and just shit post, talk about great movies like Martin Scorsese's Killer of the Farm.
Great movies.
Worst movie of the 21st century.
Aggro Drift, you know.
Oh, yeah. Harmony Korine.
Yeah.
I really like our little community on Discord, and we're actually going to be hopefully soon in the coming weeks, at least from when this airs, going to be hosting a little Patreon exclusive. You only have to be at the dollar tier, but you could join us into a live watch of hopefully Hackers. A first time watch for me. You, Jorge, really wanted to see my first time reaction.
Oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Initially, we were going to pair Hackers with Existence, and Hackers was going to be a Patreon only episode. Still going to be Patreon only, but we want to do a live watch.
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't even think about how like layered that is. I don't want to say meta, but we're going to do a live watch on the internet of Hackers.
It'd be dope, yeah. So
in conjunction with an Existence thing.
Dude, it's too much.
It's too much.
Too much, too much.
It's going to be crazy. I'm excited. For those who don't know, I'm not knowledgeable of 90s movies, so
we're going to get you there, baby bird.
Yeah, I love every week. I feel like I'm watching like a new 90s movie. Thanks to you guys and your recommendations. But that's just the $1 tier. At other tiers...
Thanks to our shitty lineup.
Yeah, we got all sorts of stuff.
Well, thanks to the shitty year. I'm sorry.
Well, no, it's like it's 1999. Virus 99, Existence 99. Like, what the fuck? Go on.
No, it's we've got multiple tiers to choose from. All the tiers above the dollar tier, we're actually be sending out our Valentine's / New
Christmas
Year
cards.
Christmas cards soon. Actually, I'm handling that.
So
are
they all getting little drawings, or is
every
it only
person will get a drawing?
Wow.
The lower tiers get the shitty drunk drawings, and then the higher tiers get more sober Jacob drawings. But all of them are drawn at the bar that I go to, and I feel like I'm gonna be judged.
Shout out to Cherry Bomb.
That's a lot of drawings, you know.
Yeah.
When they see it, and everybody can share it, you know, on Instagram, Discord, what drawing they got.
We would love you to share it. Thank you.
Yeah, it's fun. But yeah, you can go to what's the website?
www.patreonnowget.com.
That's it.
Patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast.
There we go.
There we go. Yep.
Well, the Who Goes There podcast watched 1999's Existence, written and directed by David Cronenberg.
Who's that, dude?
Starring Jude Law, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Ian Holm, who you'll know as Bilbo Baggins, Willem Dafoe, who you'll know as Gas.
And the dude with the big fucking honker dick in Antichrist.
He does have a honker dick.
That's not his dick, though. Yeah. But that's fine.
I bet he does have a honker dick either way.
I saw his hands look pretty big at the gas station.
He's always got big dick energy, and I think that's because he probably has a big dick.
I think he shares his wife with Pedro Pascal. He had a fucking Hall of Fame, the star.
Uh-huh.
The star walk, what the fuck is that called in Hollywood?
Yeah, anyway, yeah. You're there.
Pedro Pascal did the speech and everything, but there's like videos on people's phones of him like caressing the cheek of his wife and all that and like holding her face, and then Willem Dafoe like slapped his hand away and looked at him like, don't fucking do that in public. Like, I'm pretty sure
I
swear to God, I know it sounds like I'm reading in between the lines, but when you see the video, you're like,
so,
oh shit.
What you're saying is Dafoe normalizes heterosexual butt fucking.
Yes. Yeah.
But not in public.
Exactly. Exactly that.
You heard it here, folks. It's a huge news story. Willem Dafoe, Pedro Pascal, butt fucking and sharing a woman.
There it is.
And okay. That's episode 40. What number is this?
Five?
Yeah. Who else is in this movie?
406. Okay. Well, we got Jennifer Jason Leigh, who I mentioned. Don McKellar.
Christopher Eccleston.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Callum Keith Rennie. Christopher Eccleston. Sarah Pauly.
Sarah Pauly.
Robert A. Silverman. Oscar Sue. Oh, this Sue. Oh. And, you know, a couple other people. Well, you once told me, a thing, and I don't, Rhett, I don't necessarily like to prove you wrong, but I do revel in you being wrong. The dichotomy there is a little, I know it's a subtle difference. I don't want to like strive to make you wrong, but when you are wrong, it warms my heart a little bit. You once said after I think we watched
he's about to misquote me almost for sure.
you once said after we watched what was the last Cronenberg?
You're gonna be wrong right now. Is the irony about what I said?
Cronenberg film. What was the last one we watched?
Is it Crimes of the Future?
Crimes of the Future. You said I bet. You don't even like Existenz anymore.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad that I'm wrong about this.
You're wrong, dude, because this shit fucks.
Oh!
Bro, from start to finish, and Existenz is my favorite Cronenberg film, I think. Like, it's like, is it The Fly? Is it Existenz? Not sure, but they're both, like, right fucking there. Damn, dude, this one...
It's especial, huh?
It's especial.
And it has aged especial.
Dude, it hasn't aged at all.
Well, because it's... Never mind. It's not my turn
yet. But anywho, yeah, man. It's fucking wonderful. Jennifer Jason Leigh is like... is something else in this film. Like, I don't necessarily like find her unattractive normally, but there's something about her in this in this film that is like, damn, girl, you're doing this like tech... goddess thing.
Dangerous, sexy as fuck.
And I'm fucking in. Jude Law is young as hell, and I'm also...
I'm being a total idiot.
And I'm kind of in also with this fella.
You're like, he's a little Sheldon. Yeah. Big Bang Sheldon.
Yeah. Willem Dafoe is doing his best to do his own thing, and he is perfect at it.
For 10 minutes, like he's all, yeah, I'm going to be in this very shortly, and you're going to remember.
Yeah, and you're going to remember forever.
Yeah.
The techno horror in this thing is, like, top-notch. The special effects, as goofy as they are also top-notch. Like, there's this little creature, this little two-headed creature that looks fucking perfect.
Yeah.
For what it is.
Very tactile.
Yeah. I mean, it's just from start to finish, with the exception of the very end, I think there's some like stuff that we can talk about. But man, oh man, is this motherfucker just busting loads on my face, and I'm all about it.
Very pleased to hear that.
Fuck yeah.
Who goes next? Who goes there?
Who goes who goes next?
Who goes, this is your first watch,
yeah,
right,
so Jacob? This, you know, it's a 90s movie, so therefore, I probably haven't seen it. I used to say I've been a big Cronenberg fan, but these last couple years, I realized, like, I haven't seen Existenz. I watched Naked Lunch for the first time in the last couple years, and...
Oh! You know,
I was wrong in assuming in my teenage years that this movie would be too silly. I was like, I don't know. But as an adult, you realize, like, why would it be silly? It's fucking Cronenberg. He doesn't do silly. And I rewatched this, and I, too, was fucking blown away by the whole film. I loved it. It's up there in probably, like, my top four or five, maybe, next to Naked Lunch. And I was trying to figure out, and I had to do a lot of research, like, what is it that I like so much about it? And it really comes down to when I read about Cronenberg, and that unlike other directors who pull inspiration from other filmmakers,
he does not
pull from other filmmakers. He is inspired by novelists and literature
and philosophy.
You see it all in his films. And I had no idea this movie would be like that. It's very much like Naked Lunch, where there's a lot of talking heads and a lot of powerful medium close-ups of faces, and like he just focused a lot on the dialogue. I thought it was like an action movie. There is espionage, a surprising amount of it, but it was fucking crazy. It was a completely different film than I was expecting.
Hell
yeah. And I love you know, he's obviously known for body horror, but I love his approach to this film of separating the technology from the human, but studying the relationship between the two. They're kind of separate, but very close. There's no mutation of body parts. It still feels like a separate entity, but he still explores that relationship and how it, you know, relates narratively with this story. And it's so imaginative. It's a great pairing with, I think, Videodrome.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so.
And that's it. No, Existence, capital X, capital Z. Which even those kind of things, those flourishes, when I initially saw it way, because I saw it in early 2000s, because I was getting, I was already into Cronenberg. I was at the time kind of disappointed, believe it, back then, because I'm in my early 20s, I was disappointed with the movie because The Matrix had come out and Dark City had come out. And this seemed like, at the time to me, I'm like, well, this just doesn't have what those movies have.
It doesn't have the gravitas.
Which one? It didn't have the fucking spectacle of either of those films. Yeah. And those movies are more like a comic book. And then as I aged and got older. And the thing is, though, even on first watch, I remember being very nightmarish. Like it left like a mark of, like, it's definitely unsettling and all of that stuff.
Well, we all know how much of a gamer you were when we were in high school. So
exactly.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, so fast forward as years went by and rewatched, like I liked it more every time. And then within the last 10 years, it became one of the top five for Cronenberg for me. Like, absolutely. And what Jacob mentioned about Videodrome, it's considered part of a kind of, it's not an official trilogy, but Videodrome.
Like a this, spiritual trilogy.
Yeah, Videodrome, yeah. This. And some people say Crash because it has to do with, like, what's the connection? Vehicles, they are a form of technology.
Yeah.
And it's about how, like, the flesh and the machine are getting warped together and the mental stuff that goes on with that. But also a lot of people would say Crimes of the Future, which makes sense. Regardless of the quality of the film, how much people like the movie. Like, I'm watching this last night and I'm reminded, you can obviously tell they're the same filmmaker, but this is him operating in peak form, not hindered by CGI fucking stuff.
And like with I don't want to say like minimal resources, but like it feels very constrained.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The ideas are the fucking, they run the show here. Mm-hmm. Like he's not, you know, by the time he does Crimes of the Future, he's an auteur and Cronenberg, you know, like everyone, it's almost, it's a household name almost. Yeah. Like, this is not quite there at the time. But yeah, so in the future, game designers will be as famous as movie stars. In the future, right.
Yeah, true, yeah.
In the future, video games will be, but then he's got this stuff. In the future, video games will be made from organic components like mutant frog eggs.
The metal flesh.
In the future, Chinese restaurants will serve two-headed salamanders. In the future, system requirements for computer games include a bioport inserted into your spine. If you don't have one, you can get it installed at your local gas station. In the future, realists will hunt down game designers, accusing them of distorting reality. In the future, guns will be made of bone and will shoot out human teeth, right? With no metal components, they zip right by detectors. Like, these are some fucking wild ideas. Yeah. And a lot of them are very prophetic ideas,
mm-hmm.
just like what he said about game designers.
We briefly talked about, well, we didn't. I don't know if we briefly talked about it, but we did talk about it when we discussed When Evil Lurks. And I think what this movie does, what it does the best, is it drops you into a universe that's already happening. Right, so you don't have to be explained too much about the bioports and. You don't have to be explained too much about like, oh, these like fleshy computers. Yeah. It's already happening.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Cronenberg, well, I think where Crimes loses me is that like it expects so much of you to accept what's already happening. Right?
Oh, for sure. No, yeah. Man, we don't need to. Yeah.
Existence, it drops you in its uniform, in this uniform. Damn.
Yeah.
Into this universe where things have already happened, whether or not it's real. Yeah. But it feels super believable and super grounded, even despite the fact that it's a computer that's plugging into your back that is like a frog mutant thing.
Yeah.
And it never feels too far-fetched that we're not, you know, maybe 30 years out from this sort of thing.
Because it's played very, like, again, matter-of-factly about it, right?
That was a genius. That was a stroke of genius on his part because if it even had, like, a hint of feeling grounded with the video games that were around at the time, it would have been fucking super hokey and cheesy.
Right.
But because you went full bore, just wild imagination, dystopian future, you don't have to, you could suspend all that, you know, all that disbelief.
Well, and he does the thing, which he excels at, of showing you something you're familiar with in a way that's very warped, so it makes you see it in a different light. So the fact that these are organic components for the controllers. And then he's like, well, naturally, the cord, right? The cord is the umbilical cord.
And over here, this is a clit.
Yeah, and then, because, you know, he understands the psychology and the reality of when you're plugging stuff in, you've got a fucking receptive aspect and you've got the phallic aspect.
Yeah.
And this, we do this over and over again because we're mirroring our own biology. Well, so that's how we make stuff.
I also like the flipping of the male and female power play thing.
Fuck yeah.
Where you've got Jude Law's character, which I'm drawing a blank.
Pykele.
Where you've got him as like the, you know, the quote unquote timid receptive
naive
person.
Naive guy, yeah.
He's your audience. He's like the gateway.
And he's the one who's getting newly penetrated.
His like virginity is being taken in this thing.
Absolutely.
And I think that flip-flopping of I guess expectations is really where you know, it takes like, okay, well, we're going to flip reality, but are we really though? Because like these things, like it's
no more psychologically unsettling than the reality.
Yep.
It's literally like this is already happening, just not this way. Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, they put it in the dialogue just enough to like, he's like, how come it doesn't get infected? It's a hole right into your body. And she like opens her mouth and it's like, it makes you think like, yeah, we have holes right into our body.
It's like your mouth, your ears, your eyes,
your
asshole, your dick hole,
your
like all of
hole,
it.
Like, yeah, you're full of fucking holes that don't usually get infected. But, and then like you're saying, he's real playful. No, he is playful with it. And it feels so subversive because it's fucking with your subconscious, I think, right? Because she's like, oh, it's really tight. You know, and it wants action. She like licks her fingers and
she
like,
licks the fucking, and she like licks the plug.
Yeah. Like all of this stuff. And it's like this fucking, like this would totally repulse most viewers. And it's like, well, why would that repulse you? Like you're repulsed by that because he's just fucking with everyone's like Puritan values. Like, why is it repulsive? You know, the whole procedure too, like when he gets the fucking bioport. Like, it's just, and this is where I am reminded of Crimes of the Future. If you remember in Crimes of the Future, like, his the sets are very, like, low-key. Like, they're not, like, the places, like, there's not much there. And it's, like, in Existence, it makes sense. People are spending more and more time not in base reality. So, things are dilapidated because people don't fucking spend much time in base reality is the implication. And so, you have a gas station. And it does like one of those classic horror shots of a gas station. Like you see that in a lot of horror movies, like the overhead horror shot, which is like, and again, like I know he doesn't reference other stuff too much, but it that is kind of a nod,
well,
I think.
Also interesting that they're in each of the levels, right? Because we're basically dealing with like three or four levels of reality. They're meeting in churches, or at least what used to be churches.
Absolutely.
And I think like the church pew aspect of it
in the church.
Has a lot of like, you know, has a lot of like an aspect of like, you know, what is like,
what's the new temple?
What are we worshiping at this point? Like, is it Jesus Christ? Is it the fucking, the iPhone? Is it, you know, whatever.
What are you spending your time, energy, and money on?
Yeah.
And this is, that's
it's a great allegory to, you know, to explore religion. And I think that like,
And cult leaders and
all of celebrities. That stuff. Yeah.
No, and then like Jacob mentioned that one of the things to Videodrome, if you're calling Videodrome too, there's a lot of stuff with the church, like in the background and the set design. Like they have stained glass. I remember listening to the director's commentary because I wasn't clear on it when I first watched that movie, and he's saying that it's the new religion. Technology and television are now occupying the status the church used to, but people don't think of it that way. But hundreds of years hence, they'll see this as the thing we spent most time and took most of our conscious energy. And he's right. So like whatever video, what Videodrome does with analog and with, you know, the burgeoning thing of television, of course, with VHS in the early 80s, like he's fucking continuing the same thesis with video games and going into the digital era.
Yeah. Well, and further, and you know, as much as I didn't really love the film, but he goes further and explores, you know, aspects of VR and that sort of thing. Where, you know, I think with Crimes, it goes even further, right? Like he's
trying to go further again.
Yeah, he's. I think with Crimes, I think he's predicting. Yeah. Not so much like interacting with what's normal, right? Like with Videodrome, it's VHS, right. With Existenz, it's video games. It's like 99, you know, we were in the thick of it, dude. It was like,
this
you know.
The big boom,
Duke Nukem had just come out. Doom had just come out. Like all of these things that we were interfacing with.
And with Crimes, you're right. He's trying to like go further. He's like, yeah, we all know we're in the internet. And he's like, frankly, he already anticipated that. Not just him, a variety of people. But I think it's reductive, too, to think Existenz is just talking video games. It's talking about this. It's talking about the phone thing.
Yeah.
They even have like a fucking, there's a part of the beginning.
A MIDI phone.
There's the phone thing with the ID. There's also the pink phone thing, which is all fleshy.
Yeah.
And then like the thing is like, what is this? How does this have any resemblance? Because it's with you all the time. Like it's part of your identity.
He doesn't need to know a single thing about video games. He just needs to understand people's relationships
to technology.
And it's as simple as that. And then he can grow the story from there. And that's what he did.
Yeah.
Well, you could look at this and be like, oh, this boomer doesn't know anything about video games, right? But it's like, it's so far beyond needing to know.
He's looking at a protracted view of history about. You're talking about a guy who's thinking about the Industrial Revolution and within 5 minutes how it's led exactly to this moment with us interfacing with technology.
So I want to talk about.
And film is an expression of that. You're using cameras and all those kinds of things. That's also interfacing with technology.
I want to talk about my favorite moments in this film. So there are a lot of times where they show you these like extended scenes of somebody touching something. So a wall or a chair or a desk. So Jennifer Jason Leigh's got her hand on the wall and you're like, why the fuck? Like, why are they doing this? And I think a lot about what he's doing here. And it's like, well, when you think about the movie with the totems, I'm drawing a blank.
It's Inception.
Inception.
Absolutely.
When they're talking about like, how do you ground yourself to reality? Like what is real and how do you make sure that where you are at is real?
Yeah.
And so she's touching, you know, I think she's touching like the chair, the back of the chair, the stucco on this building to like ground herself.
And that's a huge theme too when you mention the stucco. Layers of, there's paint peeled off.
Yeah.
Like which one was the original layer? Even the opening credits start with like those layers superimposed on each other with that dope ass Howard Shore music.
And I think if you're watching this movie and you're not like a fan of Cronenberg and you're like, oh, it's yucky, and it's like you're missing a lot of this subtlety that he's capable of. Yeah. I think a lot of the time, and I don't want to be like, well, like, you know, later on he's just not so subtle, but I think in this film in particular, his subtlety and his ability to convey these small little moments that speak gigantic volumes, or this is peak filmmaking right here.
Mm-hmm.
Hell motherfucking yeah.
No, but the Inception reference is good to me too, because God, I don't want to go on this fucking thing with Nolan, but in Inception, it's a good grounding the thing, right? The dream thing, the shared dreaming, right? Which is very similar to the shared experience they have at the beginning, because they're all ported into the same thing. So it's shared dreaming again, because they're sharing this consensus hallucination, which, by the way, is kind of reality. Like, meaning like, we all agree here because we were informed by people before us that we're in America and we have all these constructs and we have this shared history.
And money means something.
And all of that stuff is, I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm saying it's agreed upon by one species that knows what the symbols mean. Because none of that shit's there if we're not here. There's no America. There's no money. That's all fucking imagine. That's part of fucking cyberpunk fucking game. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway,
he said the thing.
No, but the machine in Inception, they just hook people in and it shows enough of the procedure and the tactile nature of it where you don't really question, you just accept it because they don't try to over explain how it works. It's
right.
It's showing you that them porting in and the physical aspect, and you just kind of buy it. You're like, uh-huh. They push uh-huh. the button. Okay, cool.
Green mean go.
Yeah. Right. And by the way, though, a lot of our lives, like, I don't know how to fucking make a microwave. Like, I don't know how this stuff works. Like, I mean.
Lame.
I know. For real. I could Google it, right? But, so yeah, that I definitely think that's a good reference point.
It's interesting. This movie did come out, a month after Matrix. It's crazy to think like how this movie would have performed or the audience reaction if it came out before The Matrix.
I still think it's really...
It only made as much as... in its whole theatrical run, it made like $3 million, which is what The Matrix made in like a day or two, you know?
Absolutely. Opening day, opening hour.
Yeah.
No, yeah. No, absolutely. And that's what I mean. Time is great. No, because now, like, you can see it as part of, it's the late 90s pre-millennium tension, which is the name of a dope-ass Tricky album about the very same concept. Mm. People are collectively, we're going towards 2000. The internet had just been introduced. The digital stuff was just beginning to move. There's a lot of anxieties and a lot of new anticipation of things. There was the Y2K thing. Kind of
we had all just watched the Pamela Lee sex tape.
Yep, there's that. And then yeah, the fact that you got Existenz, Matrix, and Dark City. And the thing is, these are old questions, really, though. It's not just about technology, it's about reality.
Yeah.
These are the oldest fucking philosophical questions ever. Like, what is the nature of reality and all that? And it forced everyone is forced to look at it again because of technology, because of breakthroughs with the, and again, this is before social media. So he's imagining a fucking situation where people are spending most of their time jacked in because all he has to go off of at that time is fucking video games, really. Yeah. But we spend, dude, like it's all a video game. Like if you're on your phone, if you're on your email,
moments when they come out of the game world and there's that feeling of unreality.
That's one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah. And the music fucking there is dope.
Because I actually had that moment during the pandemic. I went crazy and got my first VR headset. And they say like, you got to get your VR legs. You got to warm it up. You do like half an hour at the time and stuff. I went full out and I did like 6 hours in VR.
You were jacked into the Matrix, dude. Fuck. When
I took that off, I felt...
You were pissed.
I felt so disconnected from the world. I didn't know where the fuck I was. I just, like, I didn't recognize shit. I felt really depressed, and I just wanted to kind of go back into that world. Now that the novelty's worn off, I already sold my VR shit. Like, I get it again eventually, but, like...
It's a vivid fucking memory, though, that sense of disconnection. It was
crazy. And the way Jude Law portrays that and him feeling around the world, you know, like you mentioned... That was crazy. Yeah, well, that was very relatable.
Yeah, I got like she's like, how does it feel, your real life? It feels completely unreal. And she's like, you're stuck now, aren't you? And she's like, there's nothing going on here. We're safe. Let's go back in. And then he's like, I don't want to be here. I don't know what's going on. And then when he goes back in there, they're in the fucking thing with the mutant frogs and all that stuff. And he's like, I don't want to be here. I don't know what's going on. We're both stumbling around together in this unformed world whose rules and objectives are largely unknown, seemingly indecipherable, or even possibly non-existent, always on the verge of being killed by forces that we don't understand. And she's like, that sounds like my game, all right. And he's like, well, it's a game that's going to be hard to market. And she's like, yeah, but it's a game everyone's already playing.
Yeah, we're already doing the thing.
Which is fucking... Yeah. That's like, dude, that's the Cronenberg effect right there.
Well, he's describing what it is to be alive, basically. It's like, well, okay, it's not that far removed, man. You know, all that's different is that you've got a fucking butt plug in your back.
And he's changed some of the... Exactly, the toys and window dressing. Like, oh, but what about the mutant frogs and blah, blah, blah? It's like, okay, we don't have mutant frogs, but there are places where they're taking apart animals and doing stuff with animals.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he's not condemning it either. Like, I don't feel like judgment from Cronenberg. And that's why, that's a great point, too. When you mentioned the espionage earlier, this movie goes so hard into espionage because it's about getting lost. It suggests that the point of espionage is to get lost in espionage, like, because you can't tell who's what or who's affiliated with who.
It goes a little Total Recall.
Yeah. Well, that's all flow. That's like, kind of like another crazy bit is that, like, so all of the machinations of, you know, these plot points of like, okay, what corporate entity is taking over this part? Yeah. It doesn't fucking matter because at the end of the day, it's all bullshit. Like from the
it's
core,
to keep it moving.
Yeah, it's all money on top of money on top of money. And at the end, it's like you know, you're gonna die either way.
Well, and then like there's the war between you know, death to realism, right? So on the one hand, the people want to destroy realism, right? And the other thing, it's like fucking death to. Death to existence, because the realists are at war with the people who want to destroy realism. And it's like the ultimate thing. It's like, to me, it's Cronenberg. It's about ideology, because people will fucking be at war with each other over any made up idea.
Right.
So now you've got realism versus surrealism. Like, and then at the end of the thing, well, we don't need to jump to the end. But yeah, he throws that in there, and that has that part with the military showing up. Which is
a crazy scene just by itself.
Fucking, because it feels like so dreamlike. It's like, this does not fucking match up with this.
I was questioning even the performances. I was like, it hops between like cheesy, corny to very dreamlike dialogue, and that also has to do with like the NPCs they're interacting with.
Right.
It's like it was a very great like excuse if you've thought that the dialogue might have been a little weak, maybe like Jude Law, you know, early in his career. But it made sense in the end with just how fucking weird and programmed the dialogue is in this.
I get what you're, I appreciate what you're saying. I actually, one of the things I was potentially worried about coming in here, because I know Jorge hadn't watched it in a few years, those corny scenes, those scenes with the dialogue that is clearly... To me, it's intentionally bad.
Yeah, I was like, is this bad, or is this, you know...
Is this campy?
Yeah, I wasn't sure at first.
Well, and then Cronenberg's totally like, it's all of those things and none of those things. But also, people are following scripts. Mm-hmm. Like you said, NPCs. Before that wasn't even a thing.
Yeah, like this is like way before all that terminology came into play. Yeah. It's crazy he was touching in on all that. Yeah,
and it's also touching in on how people follow their script. Like people tend to follow a scripted response to situations, like which is something, it's not like the technology created that. People already did that and they took it into the technology. And so it fucking further, it keeps doing the thing. When I watched it last night too, I made a mistake. I was trying to figure it out. No, because it's like you get lost in it, and it's just like, again, I love Howard Shore's score. He works a lot with Cronenberg. I really love the fucking music in this when it swells up, and it happens at the right times when those key scenes, and it just like, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's overwhelming, but it's really effective. Like you said, those parts are peak filmmaking to me. But something that occurred to me was, she mentions her bioport gets infected. It gets sick. It was introducing the idea of disease.
Yeah, that was interesting.
To let us know it was sick. And then I thought about Cronenberg. He always, not always, he frequently doesn't, it's not just body horror. He explores virus and disease.
Yeah.
He's a big environmentalist.
Yeah. Well, and he does this a few ways. There's the diseases the body gets, right? And then you got the fly and... The brood, they're carrying, a mother's carrying a parasite, you know, it explores all that. Shivers,
The plastic shit and Crimes of the Future, yeah.
Yeah, and then you've got mental illness, which is the psychological disease. Oh, Dead Ringers obviously does fucking, Jorge's favorite. Mm-hmm. Dead Ringers fucking goes hard into the fucking psychological disease aspect. But this one, it introduces disease into the virtual thing. You know, like, so he's still fucking with virus. And then again,
well, so yeah, like the spores and everything, like the mold spores and everything. Yeah, like that stuff is,
And it's literally part, of the lexicon of fucking tech, which is viruses. Like,
A virus.
That's what I mean. It's too much, dude. Too much. Too much lines up.
Well, it's when like
shit lines up that much in this movie.
It's like Volcano and Dante's Peak, dude. Same shit.
It's fucking crazy, dude. It's a word I used before in Matt
Armageddon.
Loved it. The zeitgeist.
Armageddon. Deep impact. Yeah. Same shit.
It came out the same year, I think. Right.
That was the year, but that was that time when you had those battling scripts where it was like they were back to back. You were having, you know, fucking volcano movies, flood movies, asteroid movies. It was all dope.
It was dope. You know what else is dope? To go back to that gas station, the fucking the tech is so not tech to implant this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like a big fucking dick. You know, like he's not scared of the first one. I'm scared of the big one. You know, and
it's like the cow thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then he's got fucking his legs are numb afterwards, and he's like, it's just like giving birth, you know.
I haven't crippled anyone yet. Yeah, the violence in this is very Cronenberg. It's shocking. It's brutal. They save it for the right moments. Yeah,
even the parts that are like Jorge mentioned, some of the kind of look silly, like it just looks surreal though. Like when he shoots the fucking the Chinese waiter in the face. And it looks like animatronic, and it's like moving like that, but it's still just like. And then his head drops on the table, and it's all open in his face.
Fantastic!
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm all about that.
So much practical effects. I think like the only use of CG was that little gecko thing, and half of it was like practical, half of it was CGI. It was
and speaking of the Chinese waiter, he has like I think my favorite moment in the entire movie, where at the end he goes, Are we still in the game? It's like, holy shit. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
You know what, the last moment?
Yeah. It's
man, and so for someone who I've never seen the movie, man, I was blown the fuck away by that twist. I was like, what?
Well, because they already like blew you away when they come out of it and they're in the church.
Yeah.
And they have it. And this is the other thing. Instead of it being like an organic port,
mm-hmm.
it's like the organic port was an expression of the game. So it's not an organic port. It's a plastic thing. But it's on your cerebellum, and right? It's on your head.
And that's why it was great, because I was like, that's why they didn't fucking bother with any exposition about all the technology and shit. Because it's all just part of the game. It doesn't need to be explained. It'd be pointless.
It's like a dream start. Like, you know, when they talk about Inception, just starts.
It'd be so pointless to have a bunch of exposition exploring that universe when in the end it's all a game. You know what I mean? So it was great. That was a crazy reveal. And it was a nice little come down, and then the fucking tension rises just for that last stinger at the end. It was great.
Yeah. So, Existence, much, much better than Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah.
But will it be better than Aggro Drift? That's the true question.
Aggro Drift will be the ultimate statement of unreality. But, like you said, the whole... When you mentioned the corny dialogue, again, I was somewhat worried... I don't know why.
Yeah, Jude Law, he was giving me Sheldon Big Bang.
Well, he's leaning, for a second. Dude, like he's leaning hard into the goofiness.
But then it made sense. Yeah, it did make sense for it at a point. Yeah.
And it's also, it creates this tone, which is very, you're so destabilized because I'm not sure where this is going to go at any given second. What the fuck was I going to bring up? I forgot. You got me, dude. What were we talking about right before that?
Aggro Drift. No, fucking the ending, the stinger.
Aggro Drift is Existenz of 2024.
Oh my God, it's going to be so bad.
Harmony Korine is saying this is the next step after cinema. This is supposed to be the next evolutionary. It's already got like shitty reviews from the film festival, but it's crazy to think like he's like, this is the gamer core movie.
All the stuff like death to realism or death to transcendence.
Yeah.
Like, but it goes, like you said, exactly with Videodrome about like the long live the new flesh stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's a literal extension of that.
I think that this movie, like, The Fly is obviously his most mainstream, like, body horror type film, I think.
For sure.
And aside from, like, the Viggo movies, but...
Scanners. Well, that's not that mainstream,
though. I think this is, like, the... Existenz is one of the best jumping off points to, like, his kind of, like, more cerebral, philosophical films. I think this is, like, the perfect blend of those. Yeah. I think it's fucking dripping with cool style and dystopian future shit and really interesting at the same time.
And I think it's obviously, I agree with you, and it's a great companion piece, obviously, to Videodrome and for
Also a virus, dude.
For conceptual, oh God, for conceptual reasons to Crimes of the Future, but that movie's not nearly, that's not nearly as good.
This movie, I was so impressed by it, I almost was ready to rewatch Crimes of the Future.
Because I think it would help understand.
I think so. I think I might.
The ideas more.
I might enjoy just a tad bit more.
Yeah. That's why I said it's not a good movie, but it's a dope movie, because I like the ideas. Yeah. Even the ones, because also I've had this enough with him now, where I know there's shit that I don't understand yet. And that sounds like, oh, you're just being... No, there's literally... This happens most time. Like, when I watched this in my early 20s, I did not understand it yet. I was like, oh, that's kind of lame. Why is that fucking look like that? And why is that... that? You know what I mean? And now it's like, it's perfect 1999 fucking...
yeah.
Tech fucking nightmare.
Yeah, seeing that his finger's always on the pulse about this shit, I wouldn't be surprised if I actually love Crimes of the Future, like, 15 years from now or something. I don't know.
Well, it's going to be hard for me to love the CGI stuff, but maybe that's part of the point, dude, because it's CGI now because it's irreality. No, but I'm not, you know, I can't go with that. It's a good companion piece, too, though, to me for Naked Lunch, because Naked Lunch, there's the espionage thing, and there's mm-hmm. the levels of reality, too, where...
The inner not, zone, yeah, it's
true. The inner zone, I'm like, what is fucking happening, and can I count on any of this actually being real? And, oh, wait a minute. Let's throw that whole fucking rule book out. Like, none of this can be... I have... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Just let it go. Throwing the rule book out is, like, his style. That's why I think I really love Cronenberg. Like, even more now after watching this.
Yeah.
He fucking... He does everything so differently. And I love that he has this extreme focus on dialogue. He loves just filming, just two people talking. And the medium close-ups and, like, the uncomfortableness of feeling in the same room.
And there's a shit them. More going on than you think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, his son, like, Infinity Pool, when we did the Infinity Pool last year episode with fucking with Matt, you know, one of the things that stuck out in that movie, because, again, there's obvious, like, wow, you are your dad's son. But then there's departures, which is good because you want to differentiate yourself. Some of the stuff is so similar, but even down to the place, the fictional country they have in Infinity Pool, it's very much like this because how it feels, it's like it's very odd, the selections he makes for the locales and the way that the restaurants look, and it has that sense of detachment and irreality thing.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's not done more in movies. It's really interesting. It's a great excuse to fucking just run rampant with imagination.
Right. And you don't have to use a shitload of special effects to do it.
Yep.
It's much more minimal. Jorge, why did you hate this film?
Mainly the racism. Not a single black person.
Damn, can you take that out? That's kind of fucked up. That's kind of fucked up. There are Asians getting shot in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a single Latino.
Oh, and I'll say it, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm going to get out of this. Jennifer Jason Lee, am I making up her name or is that her name?
That's it. You're good.
Dude, anytime she shows up, you know it's going to be a good time, dude. Like her fucking role selection, her career, like Annihilation and this, and then like she was in Good Time.
Hateful Eight.
Like she's fucking she's the roles that are for her, and she really, and also because it's not, they're not very, like, in the stereotypical sense, very feminine roles, mm-hmm. like, meaning, like, she's really, like, dude, Annihilation and fucking Existence, like, that's crazy. Enough.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah. All right, well, that was Existence. Dang, it's dope.
Huge recommend.
We're going to get you there, dude. All 90s.
I thought I really would not like the night. Maybe it's the time now because the whole 80s fad is going away and everybody likes 90s.
But the 80s fucking suck.
Honestly, no, I'm really enjoying.
We're going to get you there, boy.
The 90s are about to suck and it's about to be pure fucking 2000s nostalgia. It's already happening. We're late.
But man, this 90s.
I don't want it
either. Disturbing behavior, you're going to love.
Is that what's next? So, listeners, I don't know what's up with this slate, but it's pretty good. Disturbing Behavior.
Uh-huh.
I believe that's what, 2001?
No, it's 98, brother.
Oh, God. We are stuck in... And Species we did was 98.
Oh, you're in my universe now, Species motherfucker.
Was like a shitty, dumb Cronenberg movie. It was under the skin for idiots. And it was... Yeah, we're in 98 and 99 right now. We're stuck. Which is dope. It's a good place to be stuck.
Yeah.
Like, with some distance. I'm not actually in it, so...
Yeah.
But it's so fucked up because that was such a... You know, it was a lot.
Formative years.
It was such a simpler time. You know?
You didn't have a career to worry about,
now
man.
Now we have to worry about deep fake fucking Trump and Biden. And we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. All right, dummies. Well, that's it for episode 406. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us this morning, this evening. You know, when you've woken up at 11 o'clock... with night sweats and you don't know if it's Thursday or Friday. You don't know if you're going to be on the weekend tomorrow. You're fucked.
You don't know how you're going to pay your rent.
Yeah. I mean, you're there, dude. You're there.
That's our listeners.
Yeah. That's me, dude.
Oh, that's you, dude.
This is Jorge signing up.
This is Jacob.
This is Rhett. Don't make fun of me. Oh, bye, Sophia.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.